live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
But we've got to get the word out, and Facebook, until such point that they're broken up by antitrust laws the way they should be broken up by antitrust laws, Facebook needs to do more because these deaths are on them.
Yeah, you're the network that pretended hydroxychloroquine, which is a safe and effective therapeutic, a safer and more effective therapeutic than the therapeutics called the mRNA injections. You pretended that stuff was poison. You pretended ivermectin was poison. You've never questioned the lockdowns at all. Goodness, Joe Scarborough. Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made as an opportunity for us to rejoice. And these are the times through which God has decreed we will live. And he gets to do that because he's God, as Russians say, God. There's a serious side to this joke I've been making all day.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Jerry Reed.
A long way to go. Sure,
you know what? I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. This jams. It's okay to embrace it. Embrace the redneckism. See, because Jerry Reed was a really talented session player, guitar player. By the way, a good actor. That's a cool song, and we can admit that. But there's a very serious side to... to this.
I was an 18-wheel truck driver, 1978. My name was Greg Evigan. Back then, I was named Greg Evigan. Before I was president of the United Squirrels. And my son, dead son, Bo, was a chimpanzee then. And we traveled the country solving crime all the way from California Stan to Oklahoma. And we solved crime all the way down to Texas.
There is a very serious aspect to the fact that Joe Biden is demented. Suggestibility. If I had a chance to question Joe Biden in an interview, I would say something along the lines, after he got relaxed and went through his things that are by rote in his mind, because he's been a politician his entire life. So he's got things down. I mean,
I grew up Scranton, Pennsylvania, across the street from Eddie Sakamoto. Scaramucci. That's that Trump guy. But I grew up across the street from working class people. My dad worked at Tesla. I mean... an aluminum plant.
He's got that all by rote. Once you get past that, I would say to him, Mr. Biden, you know the struggle of people to earn a living. I mean, you know, sir, you drove an 18-wheel truck as part of your past. You know, you were a manual laborer. I mean, you know how hard it is as a truck driver to earn a living. What do you say to your fellow truck drivers?
Just when you're driving the trucks, just remember that I'm looking out, because I was then and I am now.
Suggestibility. Gosh, this is creepy.
Mr. President, we have a dreadful emergency. The COVID Delta variant is eating the flesh of children. Your only option, sir, your only option is to institute a forced lockdown of the country. You know this because you saw it on TV, the kids' flesh disappearing. Remember when you saw that?
Oh, God, it was terrible. The kids' flesh, it was disappearing. It brings me back to my days when I was, my dead son, Bo, he was an emergency room physician.
That's why I talk about his dementia. It's not to make fun of the man. The suggestibility in someone so demented, it's scary. Brett Baer
stood himself up a fantastic straw man talking about the January 6th committee, and then Brett Baer beat the garbage out of that inert.
You cannot watch this testimony and say that it's not a big deal. And you cannot watch this testimony and say that there are questions that are going to take us places that I don't think we know where we're going to go yet.
Well, okay. There is not a person in the world I've ever met who said that wasn't a big deal. I've met people who say, like me, well, that was really disturbing and a riot, and an unarmed woman was shot dead by a police officer of another race, a black cop, white woman, but we know that doesn't matter. Hey, that's disturbing. The FBI knew that's really disturbing. Why did they let it go on when they knew it was going to go on? Why did they not call for help? Why did Nancy Pelosi turn down the National Guard? Those things, but I've never met anyone going, ah, it's no big. Woman shot. Capitol broken into. People beaten, cops beat up, tear gas deployed. Ah, not a biggie. Half the country thinks the election was stolen. Nothing to worry about. Other half of the country is racially scapegoating, you know, taking a class of people and saying they're the dirty unwashed, and they wear their unwashedness on their face. They don't need some sticker on their shirt. They're white. Therefore, they're sick. Therefore, they're killing everybody, and we got to do something about it. We need some sort of solution. But no one's ever said it's not a big deal. But Brett Baer, man, he erected that straw man, and you could hear he beat the garbage out of that straw man. Straw man didn't have a chance because it's a straw man. Also, member of the party. Coca-Cola is a member of the party. And look, I have consumed enough Diet Coke to build a second ocean on Mars. I don't anymore because Coca-Cola hates this country. The management, not the people. You remember when the foreign CEO of Coca-Cola is a good party member, and really, what do they sell? Question, what does Coke sell? Sugar water. Yeah, it's not really what they sell. What they sell is sex. What they sell is people's apprehensions about themselves. Well, if a Diet Coke in your hand, that's going to make you a better person. They sell these things. It's sugar water. Remember when he decided to pressure the Major League Baseball to move the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver? When Denver has more strict voting laws, in other words, actual voting laws, than was ever considered in Atlanta? Here's what he said then. This is the foreign CEO of Coke.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, let me be crystal clear and unequivocal. This legislation is unacceptable. It is a step backwards, and it does not promote principles we have stood for in Georgia around broad access to voting, around voter convenience.
And by Georgia, I mean where I'm from. There's a Georgia across the Crimean Sea.
About ensuring election integrity. And this is frankly just a step backwards. We've spent many decades.
Okay, got it. So that's the CEO of Coke, which is a good party member that sells sugar water and dreams. That's what they sell, sugar water and dreams. Here's their VP of Human Rights. How much does your vote count in China? Isn't that how President Trump would say it? China. How much does your vote count in China? Or, more to the point, if you're a Uyghur in a concentration camp, what's worth more to the Chinese Communist Party? Your humanity, your ideas, your beliefs, your soul, or your pancreas that they can kill you and slice out and sell on the open market? Which is worth more? I think we know the answer. So what did the VP of Human Rights at Coca-Cola have to say when people started asking him, like Senator Tom Cotton and other conservatives started to say, hey, you know, you had a lot to say about the Georgia voting laws. You guys are sponsoring the Olympics where a man gets to pretend to be a woman in weightlifting, and you are sponsoring that. And by the way, don't you do business in China? In China. Wait till you hear what the VP of Human Rights of Coca-Cola didn't say about supporting the Winter Olympics in Beijing. You'll hear that right after. So this is the VP of Human Rights at Coca-Cola. Hey, you guys had a lot to say about the Georgia voting laws, which are in fact less strict than the Denver laws, where you pressured the company, Major League Baseball, to move the All-Star game to Denver. Had a lot to say about that. It's un-American, et cetera. It's everything we fight against. But you are a sponsor of the Olympics in Beijing, China, where they kill people for their pancreases and treat Uyghur women like sheep to be sheared so folks can sell their hair on eBay for human wigs. So what about that, VP of Human Rights at Coca-Cola?
That's what I'm talking about. Under questioning from Senator Merkley and Representative McGovern and Representative Chris Smith, every single one of you refused to say a single word, by all appearances, that will cost you one bit of market share inside of mainland China. Mr. Lawley, for instance, you were asked if Coca-Cola would call for the IOC to delay the Chinese Olympics, to give a chance for them to be rebid or for China to stop its genocide against its own people. And you said that Coca-Cola, quote, I think this is your exact words, quote, doesn't have a say, end quote. So can you tell me why Coca-Cola doesn't have a say in whether it sponsors the genocide Olympics next year, but it does have a say in how the state of Georgia runs its election laws?
Senator, what I stated was that we do not have a say in the selection of the host city, nor on whether an Olympics is postponed or relocated.
Everybody hear that? We don't have a say. You had a say in Georgia. So I guess what this clown with Coca-Cola is saying, I shouldn't say clown because that's a moral judgment. No, it's not. It's an intellectual judgment. I guess what I should say to be precise, what this bootlicking corporate hack says, this Lawley, is we only speak up when there's no cost to us. That's it. That's where our concern ends. We don't care about voting. We care about selling dreams and sugar water. And, you know, we're really intermingled in the international high finance world, Coca-Cola. We're understanding that the World Economic Forum is shifting the playing field from our balance sheet to the ESG score, environment, social, justice, and government. We know that that is shifting the world of capital. And, Senator, we take our money we make selling sugar water and we buy hard assets like land and buildings and patents. They're less hard assets than soft, and invest in things like Big Pharma and BlackRock. So we have a serious game here to play, Senator. We know that this playing field is being shifted. So we're going to stand with the world forces, like the World Economic Forum, on the side of consolidating power into the hands of party members who are going to give us more power. We are, in fact, becoming one with the government in America and one with the government in China. So we don't give a flat flying out the window about voting. Let's not make any mistake here. Our concern is selling the dream that Coca-Cola is in it for the people. We like the sheen of that. But we're not really interested in any sort of actual human rights. Sorry to confuse you with my title of VP of Human Rights. Remember, the party is never wrong. The party can never be wrong. Because when you decide what truth is, there are no lies out of your mouth. When you decide a man is a woman until you decide a man is no longer a woman. Likewise, do you remember outside the White House when Antifa, Black Lives Matter Incorporated were using what amount to shoot and move tactics, setting off explosives here to distract the Secret Service and the cops guarding the White House, and then making a run at the fence and then attempting to erect a ladder to climb the fence at the White House in order to breach the White House? So concerned was the Secret Service that they were going to succeed in what was a paramilitary assault on the White House in order to get into it, that the Secret Service removed the president to a bunker, and then the liberal media made fun of him for wanting to preserve his life. Remember that? Do you remember when Liz Cheney was out there at the fence yelling, "Stop! Stop! You're destroying democracy!" Liz is right there. See her?
This is the people's house! What are you doing? This is an insurrection! You can't do this! This is ugly! It's an insurrection! You're attacking them! They're trying to scale the fence! They're trying to burn down the historic church! This is an insurrection! Where's my dad, Dick, and his shotgun?
Remember that? I don't either. I don't either. I don't remember that. I remember the paramilitary style shoot and move type tactics outside the White House. I don't remember Liz Cheney. Huh. And yet, you have January 6th. Where the party is hiding 10,000 hours of video footage, where the party is not bringing to bear the FBI agents who had involved themselves, embedded themselves with the group that rioted and got into the Capitol. They're not saying, hey, since you knew this was going to happen, why did you not tell Nancy Pelosi to accept the president's offer of the National Guard? Why do we have video of them being let into the Capitol? Why, since you knew this was going to occur, did you not blow the whistle at the moment? How many of you actually told people to go into the White House? Because we have video of a guy who sure looks like an FBI agent two nights in a row trying to talk people into breaking into the Capitol, not the White House, the Capitol. Those questions remain unanswered. By the way, who shot Ashley Babbitt? But Liz Cheney, man, she's passionate, you guys. Well, about January 6th, not so much the attempt to seize the White House.
If those responsible are not held accountable, and if Congress does not act responsibly, this will remain a cancer on our constitutional republic, undermining the peaceful transfer of power at the heart of our democratic system. We will face the threat of more violence in the months to come, and another January 6th every 4 years.
Right, like the every 4 years that the Democrats call out street thugs to do things like Occupy Wall Street, in this case, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, which is a more ingenious ploy. And it's done a lot better job at getting black people killed. Now, I mean, to be fair to Liz Cheney, she did have a response that I was able to find. And I searched high and low for her response to the Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots with their street soldiers, Antifa. And this is what I found. Sleeping soundly, guarded by rough men. In a Washington, D.C. condo. Getting a good night's rest before going back to work with her good friends like Shiny Shoes. Like Senator Portman. Man, this is a fiery... This is a fiery speech.
Well, George, let me say that what she has just said is entirely counter to what President Biden has committed to and what the Senate is doing, which is a two-track process. The infrastructure bill has nothing to do with the reckless tax and spend extravaganza that she's talking
about. Wait, reckless tax and spend extravaganza? Now you've got my attention, Rob. Wow, when tax and spend is the least of our problems and the biggest of our problems is theater, a theater version of a commission. Actors. And the biggest problem we found this morning is we can't tell the difference between Joe Biden's dementia and Rochelle Walensky's lies. It's time for choosing spiritually and temporally. Have you made your decision? We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
You can also email us, therman at ktth.com. Jonathan on the text line, or Jonathan on the text line. Morning, Todd. Maybe I'm naive,
But isn't it a bit odd that not one single politician, talking head, or social elitist has suffered an adverse reaction to the vaccine or come down with a variant of the China flu? You know, what's interesting about this is this has happened all over the place. We had entire baseball teams injected with the mRNA having to put off games because people got sick. We had the British Royal Navy. Everyone on the ship double jabbed with the mRNA injection, all got the COVID flu. We've had, I mean, adverse reactions. They're not, there's no chance a celebrity is going to report an adverse reaction, is there? But there is. There are Instagram models. There's this, it's tragic, man. This, I said to Joe Biden, come on, man, it's tragic that there's an Instagram influencer, young woman, who got the mRNA injection. In fact, she did her video. Hey, you guys, what you doing? Got my second Pfizer today. Yeah, boy. And then she's developed a palsy. And it's tragic. And she's doing videos saying, I can't feel the side of my face and such. The media, the mockingbirds are not going to let us see those things. They're just not. So you got to turn to sources like this because they're busy dividing people into camps that have information and camps that don't. Losing Salt Lake City on the text line. Todd, I would like to point out, I feel you're really missing out on the full irony of the Lester Holt quote you use in your Seattle Spirit sometimes. The supposed truth he used to justify his propaganda is that the sun rises in the morning. I believe that the, quote, the science, unquote, determined many years ago the sun does not revolve around the earth. That is a very, very strong point. I agree with you on that. And that Lester Holt quote, that what's interesting to me is that Lester doesn't get what he's saying. You know, the fact is truth or fairness is overrated. That's right. Being fair is not, it's not a virtue. Lady Jake, what an absolute insult to those of us who actually spent years driving a semi. I've driven more miles backward than he has forward. What a monkey! God help us from that mindless moron. Who's she talking about? She's talking about the man we're told to refer to as the President of the United States.
Oh, look, Lady Jake, or whatever your number is. And look, I got your name and your number and my people in the FIA, I mean, sir, the CIB, they're tracking you down because my dead son, Bo, was named Lady J. But I drove 18 people on a unicycle. So 18 people on a unicycle, that's like an 18-wheeler.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Where's my 18-wheeler? On email from a legendary emailer, supporter of the program, Adam from Coopville. Good evening, Todd. How does it work with the Black National Anthem? If I kneel, it's disrespectful. But if I stand, it's cultural appropriation. Maybe the important part is that I am wrong either way. Not that I plan on attending any event that would have such a thing. Adam from Coopville. Roll that around in your noggins. Adam called it. The important part is it's divisive. That's why it's there. You want to celebrate the achievement of Black Americans? By all means. Let us not, though, have a nation within a nation. Because you know what happens then? Nastiness. But we are not to make historical comparisons about things like the Civil War until after they've happened. That's a rule. That's a hard, fast rule of media. Brady writes, rhetorical, of course, but many months ago, I wondered when we would see somebody get killed or seriously injured under the guise of self-defense. I mean, we have state officials and media claiming the non-mask and unvaccinated are,
oh, you're just a bioreactor killer. Just, you know, if you don't have the vaccine, you're probably killing up to 100 10-year-old boys who are really cute and nice and girls who are sweet a day.
part of me hates to mention it for fear of somebody trying it, especially those who are a bit mentally unstable. The woman in this story might simply be lying, but there's certainly people out there who truly believe they might die if an unmasked or unvaccinated person exposes them to COVID-19. And he's talking here about a real news story, Pike Place Market. A woman pepper sprayed, like a, what, five-year-old boy who asked his mom, am I going to die? Why? She was protecting herself against the Delta variant. From longtime listener to the program, Born Free Jiu-Jitsu Weasel, law enforcement officer, and more. Todd, today the Secretary of Defense came down with a new mask mandate for those of us in uniform. Now, I'm not usually into that particular uniform. I'm a part-timer, but that's the uniform I'm wearing these few days. So, once again, I'm ordered to muzzle myself by some higher-up who received information from some higher-up, then pushed it down on a lower-up, within a push it down and a lower it down, and eventually landed on those of us who usually deal with the ramifications of these things. Here's what I'm continually baffled by of late. I don't understand how the weakest among us have cowed the strongest among us into subservience. I mean, in both uniforms I wear, we are true alphas. We're the hunters and those who guard the unsuspecting from the evil they know nothing about, and we consider the fact they don't know about it to be a victory because of what we've done. But now the weaklings want to force us to accommodate their weakness. This is amazing to me. They're not trying to take my freedoms away. They're not trying to force vaccine to my arms. They're not trying to force a mask on my face. They're demanding that other people do it for them because they can't do it themselves. They're weak and the strong scare the living excrement out of them. Weakness knows it's weak and it doesn't want to acknowledge its own weakness. So faced with strengths, it cowers and cries out for victimhood. I share this uniform this week with rough men and women with beautiful hearts, done amazing things for the country, things that the weaklings couldn't even imagine. I mean, they play a video game or watch a TV on occasion. They go to bed dreaming they're that person and grab a headset to get together with four or five buddies and pretend they can do it, but they can't, and they know they're weak. Those of us who are strong intimidate them into action. It really makes me wonder, which one of them is going to force a vaccine into my arm? Here's the deal. I can say it without braggadocio. I know how to fight, with weapons or without one. They're going to have to get somebody stronger than me to get what they want. Problem is, the vast majority of strong people don't agree with me, agree with them. So why do we keep mowing to their ludicrousness? Why do we keep bowing to it? Stop. Refuse. The stance is a stance of resistance. They want to make you wear a woke mask in the military? Write on it useless placebo. If they don't like that, then just write placebo. If they don't like that, then poke holes in it. If they don't like that, wear a Halloween mask. It could cost you your career, but you're an alpha. You can go do other things. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I was not always a troublemaking, resistance stance taking human being. I became one. Usually, I do try to remove politics from a personal notes and try to make it a bit more spiritual. I hate that word. A bit more God-loving. A bit more emotional. More of a human connection. A lesson I've learned in life. A humiliating moment I've had that taught me something, or I share this space with people who share their personal notes, or a remembrance from times past, as so often I do, or the interactions I've had with people recently, like the woman, Jennifer, the woman I drove an hour and a half to her meth home because I felt honored to be able to help her as a steward of God's resources. So I often remove politics from it. And today I just feel called just to beg you to adopt a stance of resistance inspired by the SEER School. The SEER School, there's many of them around the country. One of them is at Fairchild Air Force Base. This is planning for being taken captive as a military member. Your first job is to survive. If you're behind enemy lines, cut off from your own, or perhaps you crash land behind enemy lines, survive and then evade, resist and escape.
America cannot escape what we're headed for unless we resist. And the stance of resistance is innate in some of us. For others, it's taught or it becomes part of us. You are well familiar with what happened to me in grade school, which turned me on to the fact that that man, that principal, has way too much power. And it was later solidified by another principal who threatened to beat me up because I beat up a guy who, off school grounds, who sexually attacked my sister. Maybe he's a kid, but still, you don't go around grabbing a young woman's breasts. You don't. So this principal's result or response was to threaten to beat me up, a little kid. I was a sixth grader. He told me this in private. Mike's afraid to come to school because he's afraid you're going to beat him up. And so I'm going to tell you, you're bigger than Mike, so he's afraid of you. I'm bigger than you, so I'll beat you up. And I said, as a sixth grader, I'll never forget it. I looked him in the eye and said, start beating. Because you're a grown man, you're going to get in trouble. And if you do beat me up and I can't fight back, maybe I can. Maybe I can fight back against you. If I can't and you beat me up, my dad is a lot larger than you and he'll kill you. It was a stance of resistance. And I'm not asking for us to go around making murder threats against principals who went on to ruin their own lives as that man did. What I'm talking about are the stances of resistance such as these. Sixth grade, I had a really nice homeroom teacher. She was a nice lady. She made a rule because some of us were coming into the classroom with gum or with soda pop because there was a convenience store up the street and we were kids. And so she made a rule. No drinks, nothing like that in my classroom at any time. And one day, there she is sitting in the front room, briefing us for the morning, sipping a can of soda. And I raised my hand. I said, Mrs. Parshall, we're not to have drinks. And she goes, you mind your business. So the next day, I did mind my business. My friend Eric and I, we went and took all our money, and we bought everybody a soda pop. Everybody walked in with a soda pop. Everybody. I thought ahead. I bought her one. A large, big gulp type thing. I set it on her desk. She was about furious with me. She was about to, once again, suspend me for the day. Once again, send me home to sit on the couch watching Hogan's Heroes and eating sugared cereal. Big punishment, that. Until I handed her the big gulp. Despite herself, she grinned and she laughed. And she said, okay, it's soda day. We need to take a stance of resistance. If you are in a profession and you've been told you have to wear a woke mask, please promise me you'll do the following. Get out a black marker. Write on the woke mask, useless placebo. They can make you wear that to keep your job. They cannot force you from writing. They cannot stop you from writing on it. What is the fact? It's a useless placebo. Think of your own phrase. How about panic porn? Fear theater? Face diaper? Print out the research from rationalground.com on woke masks and the toxins found therein. Have them ready to hand out. I was in school. I had to debate a teacher. And the topic was it was a student. I was supposed to debate a student about in-school suspension as a tactic or out-of-school suspension as a tactic for disciplining kids, out-of-school suspension. And we got into the debate, and I started just destroying this student rhetorically. And in that process, the debate teacher stepped in. She said, that's, you know what, I want to take this over. Can I step in? And she stepped in. She stepped in as this teacher. And man, I admit it, I didn't have crushes on very many teachers, but I did her. She was a young teacher, just brand new teacher. smart, pretty. She's stepping, oh, no, I'm going to have to burn you down. And I said to her, have you ever been suspended from anything? She said, no. I said, okay, so then you are speaking theoretically. I'm speaking from experience. Now, let's begin. I took a stance of resistance, even with a woman I really liked. My friend John Curley, wow, John Curley's listening to this radio show. That's a big deal, you guys. John is an incredible radio pro. Warning, warning, don't write with a black Sharpie because you'll end up smelling the stink of the ink all day. It will make them sick. That's my warning. Warning, warning, I've actually experienced it. Okay, that's a good note from John Curley. Put it on a sticker. Writes useless placebo on a sticker and put it on your mask. That's a good warning, John Curley. Thank you for that. You know, you have no idea how much it makes my day that Curley is actually listening to a portion of the show. He was probably scanning the channel looking for a cooking thing or something. So, but listen, do that. We got to take a stance of resistance. And by the way, it can be fun. Please promise me you will find a way to safely mark your woke mask with useless placebo, even if it's on your t-shirt with an arrow pointing up. They can force you to wear the woke mask. They can't force you to turn off your brain. We are the resistance. John Curley shows on the afternoons. You can listen to half of it, Cairo. This is Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.